From the Loxley Banks Broadcasting Center in Georgetown, good evening, I'm Jevy E. Banks with a look at your latest local news. A second full day of jury deliberations has ended in the Grand Court with no verdict yet in the murder trial of Devon Emmanuel Wright Jr., who denies murdering and abducting 2-year-old Alisady Powell in Cayman Brac in 2022. The 12-member jury resumed deliberations this morning as they continued weighing the Crown's case, presented by Jonas Hankin KC, who described the evidence as circumstantial but compelling. The Crown maintains that although there is no DNA, no physical evidence, and no identified motive, the case excludes every other possible suspect, including the child's mother and a family member who was in the apartment, as well as any unknown third party, leaving Devon Emmanuel Wright Jr. as the only person who could have killed a toddler. Mr. Wright Jr., represented by Stan Rees, KC, argues the opposite, that the case leaves too many unanswered questions for the jury to be sure. He's chosen not to give evidence and has called no witnesses, but the defense says the absence of forensic evidence and motive means the Crown has not met the burden of proof. On Tuesday, jurors asked the judge to clarify what was meant by presence in her legal directions. The question prompted an explanation of Section 18 of the Penal Code, which allows a person to be convicted of a crime even if they did not physically commit the act. A person could be found guilty if they aided, enabled, or omitted to act in a way that assisted the offense. The judge explained that under the law, a person may still be considered a principal offender if they abducted the child in circumstances that led to her death or assisted another person in causing it. As the court adjourned today, no verdict had been reached. Day 3 of the deliberations continues tomorrow in the main court building. The Cayman Islands government has posted a $250 million surplus for the first half of the year, driven by stronger than expected revenues and record visitor arrivals. Radio Cayman's April Cummings has more.
The unaudited quarterly financial report for the 6 months ending June 30th was gazetted on Friday, and it shows a surplus of $252.3 million for the entire public sector. That is $67.3 million, or 36%, above what government had projected. It is also $50.8 million higher than the same period last year. Total revenues came in at $856.2 million, nearly $44 million ahead of budget. Stamp duty on land transfers was the single biggest contributor, running $22 million above expectations. That reflects the new 10% stamp duty rate that took effect in January, along with higher property values and transaction volumes. Financial services also delivered, with mutual fund and private fund fees together bringing in about $15 million more than budgeted. Tourism helped too. Tourism accommodation charges were $3.7 million above budget on the back of record arrivals, with air arrivals up about 11% and cruise arrivals up 6% year-on-year. Not every line item performed, though. Motor vehicle driver's licenses, work permit fees, and other import duty all fell short of budget. On the spending side, government came in $3.4 million under its year-to-date budget, with savings in personnel costs and supplies. The report cautions those savings may reflect vacant posts and delayed projects rather than full-year gains. Net assets stand at $2.8 billion, cash and deposits $589 million, and now exceed the government's debt balance of $479 million. Finance Minister the Honorable Rolston Anglin called the half-year results extremely encouraging, pointing to a strong economy and responsible spending, while signaling the government will remain vigilant through the second half of the year. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. The full report is available on the government website. The RCIPS Financial Crime Investigation Unit says digital scams are hitting the Cayman Islands hard, and the tactics keep evolving. Detective Constable Michael McNear is warning residents to slow down, question every call and every email, and report anything suspicious right away. On Radio Cayman's The Buzz this morning, DC McNear says they are seeing more and more of this kind of things.
I know of two incidents yesterday that were reported as well. You don't see the person on this particular occasion, but you see a well-known organisation's logo on the actual phone screen as well. And again, the person behind it is a male person of Central Asian, we believe Central Asian descent, you know, possibly Indian heritage or Pakistani or something similar.
The unit is also tracking spoofed text messages that pretend to be from local banks or the Cayman Islands Postal Service, and vehicle spoofing spams tied to WhatsApp contacts in Pakistan asking for a 25% deposit on Japanese car imports. The RCIPS says Cayman is not alone. Similar Google scams have hit the United Emirates, Bahrain, Oman, and Finland, and an international operation earlier this year froze more than $235 million that have led to over 200 arrests.
Just remember what Cayman is. You know, it's the, from what I understand to be corrected, the fifth largest financial centre in the world. So where would you, if you were that person doing the scam, where would you go to?
Since DC McNair arrived back in November, he says six figures worth of scammed money has been clawed back, but only because victims and banks moved quickly. His advice is blunt. If a call, text, or email feels off, hang up, do not click, and check directly with the source.
If you think you've been scammed, don't just be embarrassed. Tell the financial institution, tell us, the police, either online or by phoning into the Financial Crime Unit or Georgetown Police Station in Eastern Avenue, and we can do our best to help you. Act fast, don't act slow. Act fast and we will try and assist you.
Suspicious calls, text, or emails can be reported to the RCIPS Financial Crime Investigation Unit or the Georgetown Police Station. You can watch the full interview of this morning's edition of The Buzz on Radio Cayman's YouTube channel or social media. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Government is advancing work on a new bill alongside Cayman's first national cancer policy. The policy says Cayman does not have a national evidence base on cancer incidence and lifetime risks. It draws on research from the United Kingdom, the US, and Caribbean populations, while a national population-based registry is being established. The policy requires screening facilities to report data to the national epidemiologist. Health Minister the Honourable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes says government is now advancing the next piece of legislation.
Now, as we move forward with the implementation of the National Cancer Policy, the Ministry is also advancing work on a cancer registry bill.
The proposed registry will first go to public consultation. The Minister says a deliverable will set out the planned approach before legislation is developed.
A white paper will first be shared with the public to outline the proposed approach and provide an opportunity for community input.
The policy says data will help monitor trends and inform future health policy decisions. Cayman's fund industry is expanding. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
Cayman's regulated mutual and private funds reached a combined 30,598 by the end of 2025, according to Maples Group's chapter in Alternative Investment Funds 2026. The company says private funds outnumbered regulated mutual funds. Private fund registrations rose from 17,292 in December 2024 to 17,722 in December 2025. Mutual fund registrations rose from 12,858 to 12,876 over the same period. Growth continued in the first quarter of 2026 with another 132 mutual funds and 188 private funds registered. The report also identifies growing interest in tokenized fund structures. It says 2026 amendments created a statutory framework for tokenized mutual and private funds, with requirements covering records, transfers, disclosures, reporting, and SEMA supervision. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Finally, the Cayman Captive Forum has announced Chris Norton and Eric O'Neill as its keynote speakers for the 2026 event in December. Norton, a motivational speaker known for overcoming a severe spinal injury, will open the conference, while former FBI counterintelligence operative and cybersecurity expert Eric O'Neill will deliver the closing address. More than 1,500 delegates are expected to attend. That's your latest local news from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.